Good morning, everybody. How we doing? This is weird. It's a weird morning. It's a weird day for me. By the way, I wore this shirt because I am 100% certain that I owned it in 2010 when we started this church. I may have worn it on the first Sunday. I can't guarantee, I'm not sure of that because I don't have a picture. I don't have picture evidence, but I know I owned this in 2010, which might be sad. Also, I'm taking a little credit, like, so anytime we do Lion Lamb, it just like gets me. Like, it just gets me. I don't know if it does to you, but I picked that song. So round of applause for me, because I can't sing it or play it because I have no useful skills whatsoever, but I can pick good songs. All right. So our Old Testament story today that the lectionary gave us is the story of Solomon's grand opening of the temple in Jerusalem. Since the Exodus, for generations, God's Spirit had resided amongst his people in the tabernacle, a tent, a sort of mobile temple kind of thing. And it moved from place to place to place with the people. And then it lived in Shiloh for a while. And David brought it to the city of Jerusalem, but it had never had a temple. In the 10th century BC then, King Solomon built, finally, a temple, a grand temple in Jerusalem, which became the new center of worship for the Jewish people, the new symbol of God's presence among them. So the story that we were given today was a story of a people recentering themselves in a new place, a new space, a new building, which feels weirdly appropriate as we celebrate our last Sunday here at Athens and we prepare to move into a new building, a new space. We will come back to this story in a few minutes, but first I would like to wax nostalgic a bit about this place and our time here. And because it's a fourth Sunday, and we've got kids and teenagers in here, what better way to do that than a Kahoot? So get your phones out and get ready for a Kahoot game. And I have a $10 Krispy Kreme gift card for the winner of the Kahoot. Curtis is Canadian and really nice, so he gives out multiple prizes. I don't give prizes to first losers. I just give prizes to the winner. So you better win if you want even more Krispy Kreme than you got today. So we should be switching over. Can we get over there? While we're doing that and you're getting your phones out, I would like to give my usual disclaimer that I'm pretty confident these phones are destroying the world. So this is not permission to spend your life staring at a phone, but we're going to use it today just for fun. I know a few teachers here from the high school have joined us this morning. So this is an interesting through the looking glass moment where you're probably making other people do Kahoots and now you get to do one. So, go ahead and start it. All right, the game pin will come up. I'm gonna get out of the way here a little bit. 880-5320 is the game pin. So put that in, and once you do, you can come up with a name, a church appropriate, at least moderately, screen name. Get those in there, and we will get rolling and just, we should give out prizes for the best names. I'm not doing it this week, so there will be no Ted Lasso themed name unless one of you can manage that in the next couple of seconds. All right, people are popping up. Awesome Dudeski. Who's Awesome Dudeski? I need to know that as we get Coward. Go Canes, Mama Mullins. She might be at home. All right, are we ready? I think we're ready to get started. Hopefully everybody has been able to get it. Soaring Penguin, 50. That's a good one. Old Man Principle, is that you, Mr. Mayors? Nice. Let's go. Let's play. Plan B. I don't even want to know why that is. All right, here we go. Athens Drive and Ecclesia Trivia. 3, 2, 1. Who was the U.S. president when we started this church? I started with an easy one. So is it Donald Trump, Joe Biden, George W. Bush, or Barack Obama? This is an easy one. This should not take the full 20 seconds. Come on, y'all. All right, Justin Trudeau. That's funny. Okay, Barack Obama was the correct answer. Let's see who was on the leaderboard. Big Worm. No. Oh, yep. Big Worm. I mean, Big Perm. Okay, that's probably Luke. Where's Luke? Okay, moving on. Next one. What movie won Best Picture at the Academy Awards the year we started Ecclesia, 2010? Was it Interstellar, No Country for Old Men, The Hurt Locker, or The Dark Knight? And you get bonus points if you can tell me which of those movies I hate the most. All right, the correct answer was The Hurt Locker. Not many got that right. Who knows the answer of which one I hate the most? No Country for Old Men. No Country for Old Men. I hate that movie. Okay, moving on. Next one. Alicia Ye. All right. What movie won Best Animated Film the year we started Ecclesia, 2010? Was it Up, Toy Story 3, Frozen, or The Fantastic Mr. Fox? It was Up. Excellent. All right, next one. All right, CK1. All right, next one. Let's fly through these as quick as we can. What percentage of Americans owned a smartphone in 2010? Was it 20%, 40%, 60%, or 80%? Teachers, you actually got like a sneak preview on this one. You might get this one right. At grilled cheese lunch on Friday. The answer, 20%. Not many people got that right. All right. CK1, still in the lead. Question 5. In the 3 years CJ coached football at Athens, how many times did the team make the playoffs? Was it 0, 1, 2, or 3? Wow, those answers are going in really fast. I don't know. What does that mean? Yes, the answer is 0. And everyone knew that. Well, almost everyone knew that, which is disturbing. Okay, moving on. Next one. Do I talk about that too much? Okay, next one. In our time at Athens Drive High School, which of the following spaces did we not hold our main church services in at one point or another? The auditorium, the cafeteria, the lobby, the courtyard, the chorus room, or the gymnasium? Only one of those we didn't have church in, like main church. Just make a choice, people. If you don't know by now, you're not going to know. Okay, the answer was gymnasium. Quite a few people got, well, yeah, I guess you should, but all right, next one. Big Worm back at the top. What up, Big Perm? Big Worm. Which of the following phenomena have we not experienced in the Athens Drive High School auditorium? High-pitched alarms going off, power outages, light fixtures falling, bats flying around the auditorium, mice scurrying on the floor, or none of the above, we experienced them all. Yep, all right, none of the above, we experienced them all. When the bats were flying around, I thought I was going to have my Batman moment. I was excited. I thought it was, you know, it was an origin story. It just didn't work out. All right, next one. Which of the following events have I not DJed during our time at Athens Drive High School? The homecoming dance, the winter charity gala, the senior picnic, or prom? Only one of those I have not DJed. Told you, again, no useful skills, but a bunch of useless skills. I can pick songs, I just can't play them. Prom is the only one I didn't. Yeah, prom is like real. They gotta get like a real person doing that. Okay, next one. CK1 is killing it, okay. How many Athens Drive staff members have I officiated weddings for? 1, 2, 3, or 4? This is actually a trick question now that I think about it, but whatever. The answer is 4. Yeah. One of the highlights of my career thus far, must say. Only 2 of them are actually still here at Athens, though. So if you pick 2, I probably should give you credit, but I won't. Next one. What is the most popular day of the Ecclesia-sponsored Teacher Appreciation Week every year? If you get this wrong, you are excommunicated. Cereal and Pop-Tart bar, cake and coffee bar, grilled cheese bar, or pizza party? Look, it went really fast. Okay, who are the 3 people got it wrong? You got to go. You don't got to go home, but you got to get out of here. Okay, grilled cheese bar. Okay, that was it, right? I think, let's see who won. The podium. Second loser, meals plus dad. First loser, CK won. Wah, wah. And the winner, L&L. Who's L&L? Come get your prize. Okay, Lindsay and Lydia. You know what? All right. Excellent. And you know what? There has never been a more appropriate, I wish I'd have planned it out. I should have like cheated and planned it out this way, but I didn't. But there's never been a more appropriate winner because they have been here since the very first Sunday. And Lydia wasn't born yet, right? Lydia was here the first Sunday inside Lindsay's belly, along with my son, Noah. So that's why I know that and I always remember it. Not same belly. Sorry. Different bellies, same time. Okay, we got to move on. This day's getting really weird. Okay, all right. So I shared a lot of this information that I'm about to share in a sermon a little over a year ago, but I'm going to go over it again just for some perspective and context on our last day. We started this church in August 2010. I was 29 years old. Everything hurt a lot less. Abby had just turned 2, and Holly was pregnant with Noah. This is obviously a few months later. And this is them now. One of them is a legal driver, and the other one might be taller than me. We were 2 years into Obama's first term as president. Donald Trump was still a TV star on a very realistic show about business called The Apprentice. We were still at the height of optimism about the internet and social media. The Arab Spring was less than a year away. The iPad 1 was first released that year. Artificial intelligence was still pretty much only in sci-fi movies. Speaking of movies, Inception, Toy Story 3, and The Social Network were owning the box office when we started this church. Lost ended its perplexing run with a polarizing finale, to say the least. Justin Bieber's Baby was playing on the radio, and if you danced to it, you might have been wearing jeggings at the time. In 2010, as mentioned earlier, roughly 20% of the U.S. population had a smartphone. Today, that number is over 90%. If you were one of the 20% who owned a smartphone in 2010, you could not have taken a selfie, at least not effectively, because the front-facing camera was not introduced until the following year with the iPhone 4. In 2010, Netflix had around 19 million subscribers, roughly 7% of the 275 million it has now. And it was 3 years from 2010 before it even began producing any original content. Redbox was still a thriving innovation in the movie space. In 2010, Amazon Prime had 3 million subscribers. By 2020, it had surpassed 200 million. In 2010, Facebook had around 500 million subscribers, which sounds like a lot until you find out that now it's over 3 billion. Instagram was just launched that year, but it would take 3 more years for it to surpass 100 million subscribers, a year after being bought by Facebook, which incidentally didn't become a public company until the year before in 2012. Now, Instagram has over 2 billion users. TikTok was still 6 years away and 8 years from 1 billion users. All these technological changes have led to seismic cultural shifts, many of which we are just beginning to grapple with as a society. For funsies, here's a graph about teen mental health. I won't explain a lot of it, but you see the direction it's moving. And here is a graph about how much time Americans, it's the wrong way. So that the previous one was about, go back to the previous one. This is how much time people spend with friends and how that's changed since 2003. And then the next one, as you might expect, is teen mental health, anxiety, and depression, how much those have changed in that time. In 2010, almost no one outside of a few academics and maybe journalists would have heard the terms algorithm, echo chamber, effective polarization, intersectionality, critical race theory, or Christian nationalism. A lot has changed in 14 years, and we haven't even talked about wars or protests or pandemics. And through all this change, the one thing that has been constant for us is this place, with the exception of a brief time during the pandemic, maybe less brief than we remember in retrospect. This school and this community, which we have loved. We have been here through four principals and three football coaches, at least. 11 graduating classes have had their first and last day in this school while we have been here. This Friday, we fed the staff and spoke a few words of gratitude to them. And in the process, we asked them how many of them have been here less than 14 years. And this was the show of hands. Is there another one, or is that just the only one? Yeah, there we go. Get the whole room in. The vast majority of staff members here have been here less time than we have. That's pretty wild. We are excited about the next chapter, but we definitely leave this place with heavy hearts. And as we do, I want to remind us of something that we've always believed, that's always been part of our DNA, but it's more important now than ever for us to remember. And it's this: buildings aren't all that important. Buildings never have been the main thing. Earlier, we read the story of the opening of the temple in Jerusalem, which was a monumental occasion for the Jewish people. The temple would be the center of Jewish consciousness in various stages and iterations for the next 1,000 years. But even at the very beginning, Solomon acknowledges the limitations of the temple. In the middle of all of that celebration and pomp and circumstance, Solomon said this: "But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built?" He goes on to pray that God will still give it his attention. He'll still turn his eyes to that place. But he knows from the beginning that this place is too small for you. He gets that there's an internal contradiction in trying to limit the creator of the universe to a geographic place or a building. And there's a tension that exists in that. And interestingly, this tension plays out all over Scripture. If we were to go back one generation in the story of Israel, David, King David, wanted to build this temple for God. But God expresses to David, at best, ambivalence about the very idea. In 2 Samuel, it says this, God speaking to Samuel, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelled in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, why have you not built me a house of cedar?" Here, God seems like he doesn't even really want a temple to be built. There's an irony, a cognitive dissonance in Scripture. The temple is extremely important. And temple theology is all over Scripture. The creation narratives are temple theology narratives. Yet, from the very start, God seems to have a sense of ambivalence about an actual temple for his people and for his spirit. It's as if he understands that they need it. They need it as an anchor, as a place to come and worship him, but that it's going to create as many problems as it solves. That it will, in time, cause them to limit and reduce him. And this tug of war plays out throughout all of Scripture. In Isaiah 66, the prophet Isaiah says this. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. There's a certain absurdity, right, for building a house for God who made all the things that the house are built out of. Is there not? In the New Testament, the first martyr, Stephen, quotes these very verses from Isaiah and then says this before the Sanhedrin. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. Later, in Athens, debating with Stoics and Epicureans, Paul says this, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. However, the most important thing said about temples in the New Testament for our purposes today, Paul said in his letter to the church in Corinth, that endearingly dysfunctional, hot mess of a church. And he said this, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. Keep in mind this imagery of building and builders. And someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. For no one can lay any other foundation than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. And here's the really important part. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? You plural, by the way. You plural are God's temple. And that God's spirit dwells in your, you plural, midst. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you, together, are that temple. Here is where the ambivalence about the physical temple comes to fruition and receives its full explanation. It's because the community is God's temple. That was always the goal and always the intention, for God's people to recognize that they, together, in their relationships, in their community, in their love for one another, are the real temple of God, the place where God's Spirit resides and intersects with the world. The community is God's temple. As Jesus said, when two or more gather in my name, I am there among them. Or people will know you are my disciples by how you love one another. This is what makes it all make sense. This is the deal. It's all about people, community. If the physical building you have facilitates that, it's good. If it obstructs that, it's bad. The physical building exists to point to the community, not the other way around. As we make this move, a lot is changing. I know that. I get that. And change is hard. I mean, even good change is hard. Amen? Change is hard, and a lot is changing. But in a sense, y'all, nothing is changing. Because the Spirit of God is where the people are. where the community is. We are a dynamic, living, breathing, moving temple that takes God's Spirit wherever we go and discovers that it was already there waiting for us. What an amazing mystery to be caught up in, right? Now, let me conclude with this. Later in this same letter, Paul says this, because again, this building imagery is everywhere. He says, everything is permissible, you say, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. This is a kind of famous line. The subheading above it in the NIV translation says, the believer's freedom, which kind of illustrates how we've missed the point and lost the plot a little bit. This is a beautiful statement that has been diminished by poor translation and warped cultural understandings, because we make this sound very individualistic when we read it. But the word here for beneficial in Greek is sum phero. Sum means with or together. It's a preposition. And phero is a verb which means to carry or bear. In other words, it literally means to bring together or to carry together. It means beneficial, but it means beneficial for the group, for the community, not the individual. And the word for constructive is oikodomeo. Oikos means house, and domeo means to build. So this word just literally means to build a house. And Paul uses this word throughout the letter to the Corinthians. I mean, it's kind of the thematic center of the letter if you're reading it in Greek, and you can tell. You are God's house. Are you building the house? The house, of course, being the temple that Paul has already talked about, the community, the people. In other words, sure, you can do whatever you want as an individual. You do you, boo. But are you building the house? You were called to build a house, this mysterious, sacred, countercultural, upside-down community in the world. Are you building that house? And this is like always the question. This is life in a nutshell. This is following Jesus in a nutshell. As we move physical locations, this is what we have to remember through the entire process. We're not moving to go build a house of wood or bricks or mortar or drywall. We're moving to build the same house we've always been building, a house of flesh and blood and hearts and relationships and laughter and tears and meals and prayers. And what a gift that we. Can't believe it took that long. What a gift that is the task we've been given in life. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you for 14 years. Thank you for this space and this community. Thank you for the love that we've hopefully shown others and the love they've shown us back. Just go with us wherever we go. And go with those that remain here. We love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.